Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I'm always excited when I get Gretchen Holcomb back on the show. Gretchen is from Boxy Colonial and Boxy Colonial on the Road, two great blogs you should be reading. And today she's here to talk about 6 tips for themed decor. And I just asked her to do this maybe 10 days ago because I follow Gretchen on Instagram and she posted a picture of her travel-themed holiday Christmas tree. And I was like, oh my God, that's a great idea. And then I remembered all these other posts she's put up over the years of her kids' bedrooms. And I realized like she's got a travel theme in her house to some degree. So I reached out to Gretchen. I was like, Gretchen, is there a whole episode on this? I mean, is there enough content? And Gretchen was like, yeah, that's a great idea. So got her back on the show. So pleased to have her back. Welcome on back to the show, Gretchen Holcomb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good. And I just kind of had a thought about you that I wanted to share with our audience. I think you are probably the only person in America that has an excellent travel blog and an excellent home decor blog. And specifically, it's an RV travel blog or camping blog to some degree. Two such interesting projects that you have going.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the worlds are colliding today. So.
Yeah, so cool. Which one do you is one more of a passion than the other, or do you kind of equally divide your time between those two projects?
Yeah, I think it goes back and forth, kind of depending on, you know, what I'm focusing on more in my life and whether we're on trips or not. So sometimes I get tired of one and then I focus on the other for a little while, but overall it's pretty evenly split.
Does it help you in a weird way create sort of a home travel balance, you know, home and away kind of balance? That's something that Stephanie and I have talked a lot about over the years and we've tried to achieve in our lives. Is it help you kind of be happy in both places?
Yeah, I think so. For a while, I tried to do both blogs together, but then, you know, one would sort of take over the other. So, but yes, what you said, it does that.
It creates a almost spiritual balance of happiness and joy between home and away. So you're going to give us 6 tips for travel-themed decor. Before we dive in, and these are really good tips, before we dive in, we do have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. AquaBio is a new twist on holding tank treatments, and it offers today's RVers formaldehyde and bronopal-free formula. Thetford's next generation of holding tank solutions is campground-friendly and complies with California regulations. The quick-acting holding tank treatment eliminates odors while digesting waste and toilet paper to prevent clogging, all without any harsh chemicals. It's also proudly made in the USA. Thetford's new AquaBio is formulated and tested safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. Comes in liquid, toss-in, and dry options. Visit Thetford.com for more information. And I do want to say, without giving away any secrets, that Thetford has some really awesome new products coming out in 2021 that we cannot wait to test and get our hands on. All right, so Gretchen, we have 6 tips for travel-themed decor. And I really like these because I hadn't thought of all of them myself. And you surprised me with a few of them. And I'm going to apply these to my own life. So let's get started. Your first tip is to use souvenirs in holiday decorating. So tell us, you know, how you've done that and how we should do it.
Right. So when we started doing long trips in the RV, we started collecting magnets. And that quickly got out of control because magnets don't cost very much money. And you can buy one pretty much everywhere you go. So a year or two into our travels, I was decorating for Christmas and realized that we had just tons and tons of magnets and really nowhere to put them. So that was kind of the inspiration for our travel-themed Christmas tree. I thought there's got to be a way to display these. And I looked around on Amazon and whatever and came up with the idea to, I think they're called craft rounds. They're basically these thin pieces of wood I spray painted all of those black and got some heavy duty magnet tape to put on there to attach the magnets, and then put string on them, tied and turned them into Christmas ornaments. And then I kind of, that was how it started. And I kind of did the whole tree around that. And it gave me a way to use those magnets without filling up my entire house with them. And also they could come back off of there after Christmas and still be on my refrigerator or whatever. So that's the centerpiece of the travel Christmas tree. But we also made, I made a garland out of an old road atlas that we were done with. I cut it up and made a garland to go around the tree and made some origami stars out of that. And then we do also have, I know a lot of people like to collect Christmas ornaments at gift shops as they travel. And we've done a little of that. So we have those on there. And I think we're actually planning on switching over to that because the magnet collection really is out of control. And then I have this really nice tablecloth that's like a map of the U.S., like a vintage map that some friends gave me. And I feel like it's too nice to use for camping, so I never do. So that's my tree skirt, because I have a firm belief that tree skirts sold as tree skirts are way too expensive. So I try to come up with another idea for that. So that's kind of the travel Christmas tree. And of course, you don't have to have an entire travel Christmas tree, but you can, or just anything that you put on your tree that's travel themed. It kind of helps you relive those memories while you're decorating. And it's a great way to get the kids into it and talk about what you've done over the years.
And that's your main tree, correct? It's not like a secondary Christmas tree.
I have two main trees. We have one tree that's our live tree that we buy, that's sort of just every ornament every kid's ever made in preschool kind of thing. And then this is another tree, but they're both main trees.
Equally prominent. Now, the magnet idea, I'm kind of obsessed with this idea. Right now in my garage, there is a box filled with magnets from all of our travels. And there's nowhere Stephanie wants them right now, because like you said, they got out of control. There's too many of them. So I'm right. Loving this idea for the tree. But then I have to ask, are they a little bit too heavy? Does that ever become an issue that they are, you know, does it work well? Do they hang on the tree okay?
They do. You have to get the right tape. I've done two batches of this magnet tape. It just comes in rolls, and it's just like sticky on one side and a magnet on the other side. And one of the rolls I bought worked great, and I had no trouble with it. Another one was sort of substandard magnet tape, and that is more frustrating. So I don't know, read the reviews and try to get the best magnet tape you can get. But the good magnet tape we haven't had any trouble with.
Gretchen, I love that you have high standards for magnet tape. Okay. And I appreciate it. I'm going to apply those high standards when I get some. All right. So and the tree looks gorgeous, by the way. So on the RVAtlas.com, we will have some photos of all the things Gretchen is talking about, and hopefully a photo of this tree, I think. Right, Gretchen?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So tip number two, which I really like, because I think that, you know, sometimes I tend to just be really obvious with my souvenir selection, is to think beyond the obvious. So take us beyond the obvious. What other types of things should we be looking for travel themed decor?
So I think the main takeaway from this is just because something doesn't say Yellowstone on it doesn't mean it's not going to remind you of your trip to Yellowstone and of what you loved about it. So while you're on a trip, you can go into not just souvenir shops, not just gift shops, but go into local stores where they sell things from local craftsmen or artists and find something that you love. And even if nobody else who comes into your house knows that you bought it there, you'll always remember that. And you can do this after you get home too. You can look up local artists. If you don't see something you love while you're on the trip, do some research and find someone you love who's from that area. Another thing with this is, if you go to something that's like a one-time thing, maybe an exhibit at a museum or some kind of performance, and you can get some kind of commemorative poster or artwork from that, then you'll have something that doesn't just tie into where you went, but to the time that you went. And it'll be something that's unique that hardly anyone else has. My example of this from my house, for my husband's 40th birthday, we went to Nashville, and I sprung for the VIP tickets for a Jason Isbell concert at the Ryman Auditorium. And that came with a Hat Show print, which is a really famous print shop in Nashville. And ours is actually signed, but even if it weren't, it's a really nice print. I like the way it looks. And so it's hung up in my house, and it reminds us of that trip too. And it's one that, you know, nobody else is going to have. You're not going to see it everywhere you go.
So many things I want to talk about what you just said. I'm a huge Jason Isbell fan, huge Drive-By Truckers fan. So I'm just melting in a puddle of jealousy. I've seen the Drive-By Truckers live. I've never seen just Jason Isbell live. So then the souvenir has more emotional meaning, too, than just like the magnet from the Yellowstone NPS gift shop. I mean, one of my favorite souvenirs are these handcrafted animals we got from this really quirky artist in Vermont. You know, we spent 30 minutes talking to the guy.
Right.
I have to put you on the spot. Favorite Jason Isbell song?
Oh, goodness. I listened to like three different versions of Hope the High Road last night. So apparently at this moment, it's that.
That is a terrific song. My favorite is Stockholm. All right. So I love the idea of going just beyond what's in that, you know, gift shop at the National Park gift store. And it doesn't have to say yellow. It doesn't have to be, you know, blaring out loud like Yellowstone, Yosemite, because you're going to know where it's from and it's going to be meaningful. All right. So your third tip, it's okay to wait until you get home to shop. And this is a very Stephanie kind of tip to me. So why might we not want to get the souvenir while we're traveling, but actually wait till we come home?
And I thought about the contrast between you and Stephanie's souvenir personalities as I was writing this, because I'm more of a Stephanie and obviously you're more of a Jeremy. So
this is true.
So, yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, shopping for souvenirs is a big part of the experience of the trip and they love gift shops. I'm not really that person. I mean, I enjoy going in and browsing, but I feel kind of overwhelmed. And a lot of times when you're on a trip, you've got kids pulling on your sleeves and you're late for something and it's crowded. So, you know, if you see something you love, sure, get it while you're there, but don't feel like you have to, because we live in a world where anything can be found on the internet just about, and you can have it at your house in a few days. So, you know, maybe if you see something you like, but you're not sure about it, maybe take a picture of it or something or jot it down so you'll remember. But when you get home, you can still find those things. And it also, getting a little distance from the experience might help you kind of have a better idea of what you love the most about that trip, what you want to remember. One example I thought of this, I remember being at Disney World a few years ago and just being so overwhelmed by all the magic that I was in a gift shop. And I was like, we need an entire Mickey themed kitchen. Look at these dish towels. Look at the spoon rest. These are amazing. And then I got home and I was like, I don't want a Mickey kitchen. What was I thinking? Thank goodness I didn't spend $200 on Mickey accessories, because, you know, I was swept up in the moment, but that wasn't really the souvenir I wanted from Disney World. So a little distance gives you a little perspective.
I love this idea, because then you can also kind of think about what fits in your home. As opposed to when you're, you know, you're far away in another state or something, you might not be thinking about how it matches other decor or where you want to put it. Now, I'm going to give you a very Jeremy kind of interpretation of this. I often get my souvenir before I go, and that's because it helps me look forward to something. So we just planned our Yellowstone trip, and which is months and months away, Lord willing. And I just bought one of the Robert Decker vintage National Park Yellowstone posters because I want to put it up just to be excited, looking forward to the trip. But that's also me, and I'm super impulsive. So any other part of that tip to wait till you get home, or does that cover that one?
I think that pretty much covers it.
All right. I love tip number four. Don't forget vintage. So give us some advice here. How do we add some vintage travel inspired decor into our homes?
So I love vintage and just everything. And so this is sort of an easy one for me. And it's not going to fit with everybody's aesthetic. But if it does, this is there's so many possibilities if you look for vintage things. Because, you know, if you're going to the Grand Canyon, it's been there forever. If you're going to a major city, it's not new. There's stuff out there. So one idea is, if you like those sort of kitschy souvenir plates, there are a million of them, and they're not expensive. You can look on eBay or Etsy. You can pick one up for well under $20 from pretty much anywhere. So we have a display wall of those in our sunroom. So that's salt shakers are another one. If you want a collection of something vintage stuff, it's easy to pick up cheap, and there's tons of it out there.
Do you have to go all the way though? Does it not fit in unless it's a real organized part of a theme for a room, or can you splash it in here and there?
Oh, I think you can. There's not a room in my house that doesn't have like some modern and some vintage. So I think you mix it all up, and yeah. put it, I mean, you don't have to do a whole plate wall. It can be part of a grouping of other artwork or whatever.
All right. So where else should we look for vintage stuff, or what else have you done in particular?
So there's a lot of, particularly with the national parks, there's a ton of stuff in the public domain. Those, you see those WPA posters, they kind of, they were, I think, the inspiration for that, for the See America project, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. People sell those, but the reason you can buy them so many places is they're in the public domain. People don't have to buy the rights to them. So I think the Library of Congress website has all of these as printables, those WPA posters that they're kind of iconic. If you saw one, you'd know what I was talking about. There's one from all the different national parks. So look on there, the Library of Congress website. There's a great site called the David Rumsey Map Collection. He has a lot of stuff that's in the public domain that you can print out. We did some maps, old maps of national parks for my son's room from that. So just get on there. You can get lost for hours searching through all the stuff he has on there. Just look up the name of whatever you're looking for, Acadia or Yellowstone or whatever, and stuff will come up. And it's these really fun vintage maps from like the 40s and 50s that have a lot of, they're not just a map. They have like a lot of graphics on them and little art and stuff. And it's, they're really charming. Let's see. So we did, another thing, again, going back to, it doesn't have to have the name of the place on it to remind you of that place. We have in our dining room, a vintage tapestry, like a big wall hanging of bison. It's like a mother and baby bison. And it's, I don't know, it's probably from the 70s or something, but it's just a thrifted tapestry. And it just reminds us of our trip out west because we saw so many bison at Yellowstone and in the Badlands. So
where did you find that?
It was actually, I had a blogging friend who had it in her house for a while. And then when she was, and she had thrifted it somewhere. And when she was moving, she was selling a lot of stuff. And I was like, I want that. How much do you want for it? So that's how I got that.
It, you know, you mentioned See America. And for our listeners that might not be super familiar, you know, I think that we might be heading into another great See America moment or a See America decade or at least a handful of years. So after World War II, the See America movement was just trying to inspire people coming home from World War II to spend their tourism dollars inside the United States to help the economy of the United States. And there's been some revived See America type projects by the Creative Action Network, which you're going to talk about in a minute. There's also the Robert Decker posters, which are great. But, you know, this summer, Lord willing, you know, if travel starts to become a bit easier within the United States, it's probably still going to be a bit difficult going overseas. So this summer could really be the summer where there's just that resurgence in the Great American Road Trip. I mean, last summer, I think it was that to some degree, but it was also so complicated by all the travel restrictions. Hopefully when things start to clear up, you might see another kind of golden age for American travel. Certainly my wish. All right. Gretchen has two more tips. But before we get into those last two tips, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. The brand new JayFeather Micro Series is rugged and ready for adventure, but also lightweight and easy to tow. The five floor plans in the Micro Series are packed with high-end features like 16-inch Goodyear off-road tires, roof mount solar prep, and pre-wire for an inverter so you can easily use your 110 outlets. The included 17-inch Blackstone griddle is also a Jayco exclusive. The side Nerf bars and optional roof and bike racks make it easy to bring your bikes and kayaks along to the mountains, ocean, or lake, or wherever the open road leads you. The Micro Series has floor plans that are perfect for solo travelers, couples, or families that can't wait for their next great outdoor adventure. To find out more, visit jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun. Gretchen, I'm having so much fun with this. Two more tips. And this is really the thing that got me started on this one. Your kids' rooms. You have your kids' bedrooms are awesome, or at least the ones I've seen. So tell us what you've done in the kids' bedrooms.
Okay, so this is mainly my youngest son's room. When we were transitioning him, his room from his nursery when he was a baby, so he was about, he was probably 2.5 or 3 when we did this, to a big kid room. I think this was when we were planning our giant national park trip that we did a couple of years ago. And so I was feeling very inspired and decided to go with a whole national park theme. So sometimes you can't really get away with a theme necessarily as a grown up in your entire house, but in a kids' room, you can really just go over the top, do all the color you want, do all kinds of fun projects. So his favorite color was green at the time. So we painted it a cool green. And then the first thing that I kind of decorated the rest of the room around was the See America posters that we've talked about. The Creative Action Network they have several different poster kind of campaigns that you can buy from, but one of them is the See America posters. And I guess it's crowdsourced. People can submit art and then you can buy the posters, and they're of all different national parks. So we went with three different prints from the artist Matt Brass, who I know is one of your favorites too. And I think we have, what do we have? Yellowstone. I'm not even the Smoky Mountains and one other one that I'm not going to be able to remember because it's not sitting right in front of me. But we got three big poster size prints of those, and those hang over his bed. And then we just kind of went crazy with other ideas. I have another big bison in this room that was a print from World Market. We did curtains. I just got simple white curtains from IKEA, but then made a bison stamp and stamped all over it. We made a National Parks Arrowhead logo shaped chalkboard in there. So that was kind of a fun, just out of plywood. You just can do plywood and cut out whatever shape you want and then just paint it with chalkboard paint. So he has that in there. I have one of those old pull down school maps of the United States that I got on eBay, and it had a little tear in it. So it was way cheaper than most of them. And I just put some packing tape over it and it was fine. So we have a lot of really fun projects, and then just those maps that I mentioned before that were free printable. So it wasn't a lot of money, but it was a really fun.
Oh my God, the room is brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, you said it works, that kind of strong theme works for a kid. It would work for this 45-year-old too. And one of the photos you took of the room, the Creative Action Network used in some of their social media or advertising, right? It just was so, it all just came together so perfectly.
Yeah, I think they've reposted it a couple of times.
And just on the Matt Brass topic, he did some logo work for the RV Atlas over the years, and I actually just ordered a bunch of stickers from him. He makes the most incredible national park themed stickers, and follow him at Art Wanders on Instagram, and then I just found my way to his website through there. Okay, anything else on the kids' rooms, or shall we move to travel photos?
Let's move on. I think that's all I got.
All right. So you're saying we should use our travel photos creatively, but sparingly. What do you mean?
Well, and I hesitated to use that word because I don't want to suggest people shouldn't hang their photos wherever they want, all over their house. And, you know, a lot of people like to have going up their stairs or down a hallway, a lot of family pictures. And I think that's great. And I keep meaning to do that on my stairs and I haven't yet. But so I'm talking more about just kind of looking beyond pictures of your family. You know, you go to the Grand Canyon, you get a picture of all your kids in front of the Grand Canyon, and you want to put that somewhere. And that's great. Definitely do that. But look beyond that into just pictures of the things you've seen on your travels too. And even if you feel like you're not a great photographer, if you took a picture of something that you loved out on your trip, you can do a little editing and it can look like a professional photo. If you don't feel that creative, get a friend who knows Lightroom to do it. Make it black and white. It'll look artsy. Don't be afraid to use your own photos in your decorating. So some places where we've done this in our house, I have a picture that I really loved of the Blue Nose 2 in Nova Scotia, which is a reproduction of a famous ship. It's on their dime, I think, in Canada. And I really liked that picture. So when it was time to redecorate our kids' bathroom, I kind of did a vaguely nautical theme because it wasn't a kid's bedroom. So I was careful to rein it in, but I used that picture in there. What else do I have down?
Gretchen, can we start a band called A Vaguely Nautical Theme? Or start a band and have that be our first album?
That's a good idea. I think we should definitely do that.
We'll talk more about that. I love that. A Vaguely Nautical Theme. I'm sorry. I was interrupting you there. What else? What else were you thinking for using the pictures creatively and sparingly?
Right. So, in my son's national parks room, we have a few pictures of him. It's a grouping of other artwork. So those maps I talked about and a few other things, but we also have just a couple of pictures of him at different National Park Service sites, but he's not really necessarily he's in the pictures, but it's more a picture of other things that he happens to be in. And it's kind of hard to explain on a podcast, but I mean, that's a thing to think about when you're taking pictures too. Get those close-up pictures of your kids, but also get ones that your family is in, but you can see where they are, which I think some of us forget to do that because we're kind of focused on getting great pictures of our kids' faces. But also make sure you get that context because it's great for them to be able to see themselves in the place and also see where they were.
Such a great tip. And, that's what a lot of the action outdoor photographers do is, you know, they put that tiny little person in that grand landscape and it's more interesting than just a landscape photo. And, you know, your kids are in it. So I know exactly what you mean. I also love the tip that, even if you're not a photographer, that just a little bit of editing can redeem pictures. And the tip I would give people is, look, if you take a picture and it doesn't look great to you, sometimes you can just simply get rid of the shadows and put in a little color or saturation. Just do those two things in photo editing and you have a decent photo.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else on this last tip, using the travel photos creatively but sparingly?
No, I think we've covered it.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot to end the show. Is there a travel-themed memento that's most precious to you, most valuable to you, that really, you know, brings to mind a certain place or a certain memory?
I think I'm going to, if I had to pick one, which you're making me do, I think I would probably go with that Jason Isbell poster.
And I love that because it reminds you of the place, but it's something really, really specific about the place.
Right.
And it's something that not everybody has, and it recalls to mind very specific memories and emotions and everything. Well, Gretchen, thank you so much. We just always love having you on. We really look forward to having you back on in the spring. Rumor is you're going to be giving us an awesome Savannah trip planner. Is that correct?
That's something I'm planning to do, yes.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. So tell everybody where they can follow all of your work.
So I have the two blogs. There's boxycolonial.com and the travel blog is boxycolonialontheroad.com. And then those two are me pretty much everywhere. Instagram, I have two accounts with those names, and Facebook and everywhere else.
And Gretchen takes great photos and she can write. So you want to check all that stuff out. I love following you. And we will see you in the new year. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we will catch up in 2021.
Yeah, see you.
See you at the campground, Gretchen. Thank you.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Go Power, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and RV Snappad.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And to join the friendliest group of RVers, join us over at the RV Atlas group on Facebook.
See you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.